All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Happy New Year, and I hope you all had a great holiday season. I know I did a bunch of stuff over the holiday season. I baked cookies, and I don't bake, I cook, so that was interesting. We went to Boston, we went to the aquarium, and that was a lot of fun. A lot different than I expected Boston to be.
Really?
I typically don't care for people from Massachusetts. I think it's the accent. I don't like the drivers. The drivers there suck. But everyone was really nice.
My brother lives in Boston, and he walks because you really don't need cars there because it's a big city, but it's a walkable city.
It was walkable.
Yeah.
And it was very clean, actually. I'm sure there are parts of it that, you know, every city's got their parts that you just don't go to that are probably a little run down, dirty.
Sure.
But it was not like New York City. It was not like D.C. where there's trash everywhere. It was very clean. I was very surprised. And I don't know if this is how Boston typically is. So if it's not, let me know.
I'll have to let my brother know or find out. But, you know, one of the areas of Boston when I was growing up, and it's been this way for years, was a section of the city called the War Zone. And when you went in that section, it was where all the bars were and those kinds of places and adult places and things. And at night, they said you used to take your life in your hands because anything went in that section of the city. The police didn't go in because they were afraid of getting shot at, and people would get shot, and it was terrible. Well, they cleaned it up, my brother was telling me, and it's like they built these beautiful condos and office buildings, and the state has a big office building there that he worked in, and a lot of the baseball players have these big condos, so they clean that section right out. But it used to be nobody ever wanted to go in there unless you were, you know, with a bunch of people.
There's a lot of old buildings there.
Oh, yeah.
They're very, very pretty.
So where do you go?
We went to the aquarium.
Okay. And did you go to the North Church or anything like that?
No. We just went to the aquarium and then walked to Democracy Brewing, which we were very disappointed we got there. So on our way there, we went through Market Street, which was pretty cool.
Yep.
But then we got to the brewery and there was a sign on the door saying that they were going to open at 12:30 instead of 11:30. So then we had to kill half an hour. So we did that, and then we get back there at 12:30. And they're like, we're not going to open. There's been an issue and blah, blah, blah. We're going to stay shut.
Really?
So then we had to find a random place, which we did. Thankfully, it was another 5-minute walk. So we walked there. But it is easily walkable. And unlike New York City, there's not thousands of people hustling down the street, just nose straight in front of them, just going and going and going. So quick paced. It was very empty. There was this really nice opera house right around the corner from the brewery we ended up going to. And so we kept seeing a bunch of people all dressed up to go to the opera house with their little kids. I think they were playing Cats there or something. Something was playing, or Anastasia, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice.
That's
to
nice.
See a big city, not your typical scene of a big city.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what my brother said. He said, you know, it's a big city, but you can walk it and see a lot of sights. And it doesn't feel like a big city, but it really is.
Yeah, it wasn't really overwhelming. New York City was very overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. There's too many people crammed
in. Way
too
many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the aquarium was good. We got to touch some stingrays, and they're very friendly.
Really?
Extremely friendly. They come right up to you, right on you. They love it. They love to be pet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you get stung by them, though?
They typically don't sting. Even when they're threatened, they typically don't.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting. And they're very, very friendly creatures. As long as you just got your hand out there, they'll come right up to you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a good time.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Now, was it a day trip or you stay overnight?
Just a day trip.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of a drive, but it's not that horrible.
It wasn't that bad. It only took us, like, 3 hours or something.
Yeah. Main roads.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're
and
highways.
They don't have the tolls anymore. They had it's all electronic, oh, so it's just straight through. It's just a breeze.
They take a picture of your license plate?
Yeah. I've got the easy pass, though.
Oh, you
so
do? Oh, that's
comes
good.
Right out.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we do so much traveling. That was a good investment.
See, that's the department my brother works for. This is the tolls. Mm-hmm. And if New York just is doing that, but I think they said by the middle of the year you won't there will be no toll booths, so you either have to have the easy pass or they'll take a picture of your license
and
number
mail
it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, the tolls are so low that if you're late, it's a $50 late fee.
Oh, I know. I went through Mass one time before I had
the easy pass,
and so like 2 months later, you finally get the toll bill. It takes forever to get to you.
Yep.
And then so it got to me, and then I kept forgetting about it. And then before I knew it, like my $12 toll bill was like $82.
I know. Isn't it terrible?
Like I should have just paid it. But like I just kept forgetting.
Well, sure.
Because like you get it, and you're like, okay, I'll like go online and pay that. And then it just like slips your mind because it's not something that you typically do.
But
work with.
See, it's like $2,
so, like, oh
so
God,
the late fee,
if
the late fee was 18 cents, you know, but they really sock you on the late fee. That's where they make their money, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's not on the tolls, it's on the late fees.
Yeah, pretty much. So I just got the easy pass. I'm like, yeah. I'm not doing that again.
No, you're smart, because a lot of states accept them, too. So if you're driving
yeah.
into another state that has, you don't have to worry about tolls.
Yeah,
know.
Definitely easy. So, yeah, we've got a lot of things going on in the news. I know last time I wanted to do a show, but ended up being sick before the holidays. I wanted to go over the Afghan papers, which seemed to have come and gone right out of the news. It was like there for a day, and then everyone forgot about it, except for the people that actually care. So it's this like big, like 6-part story that the Washington Post came out with because a bunch of records were released, and they actually have been in like a three-year fight over making these records public, and they finally won, and now we have all this information, and they're actually relating this to the release of the Vietnam papers when the Pentagon finally released those and told the public that the Vietnam War was a bunch of BS and should have never been there. So just like that, here come the Afghanistan papers, and more BS. So we should have never been there. It kind of seems like the only justifiable war you could probably think of, come up with, would be going after Germany for the Holocaust. I think that's one that even I, being anti-war, I don't know if I could make that not justifiable.
Well, yeah, I mean,
defeating the Holocaust.
Right, because, well, the thing
too
is, but
even by the time we got there, though, Germany was already losing.
Yeah,
so
but the thing is, though, but they may have been losing, but I think they would have taken over more. I mean, we're the ones that made the difference, I think, in Germany's downfall. But they were, like, taking over all of Europe. So I think by us getting involved, that was kind of like a justifiable thing. And maybe World War One was, too. But after that, I mean, Korea and over there, in the Middle East, they've been fighting like that for thousands of years. Nobody is going to do anything.
No one's going to change that.
Right.
And later, if we get to it, we'll talk about the whole Iran thing. But, I mean, just more of no one's going to change anything that's going on over there. So, anyway, here comes the Afghanistan papers. Of course, this did not stay in the headlines like I wish it had. Unfortunately, the whole impeachment stuff is still the main headline, will always be until it's all over. Mm-hmm. So let's get into these papers. So part one of it is titled At War with the Truth, subtitled U.S. Officials Constantly Said They Were Making Progress, They Were Not and Knew It, and an exclusive post-investigation found. This is written by Craig Whitlock on December 9th, 2019. So I just want to pull out some stuff that maybe some like quotes and stuff out of here, because it's very, very long, so I'm not going to read it all to you. You guys can find it and read it. I highly suggest you find it and read it. Let's see. So Washington Post reveals that senior U.S. officials failed to tell the truth about the war in Afghanistan throughout the 18-year campaign, making rosy pronouncements they knew to be false and hiding unmistakable evidence the war had become unwinnable. I'm just going to keep pulling out some things here for you guys to think about. Another quote here. We were devoid of a fundamental understanding of Afghanistan. We didn't know what we were doing. Douglas Lute, a 3-star Army general who served as White House Afghan war czar during the Bush and Obama administration, told government interviewers in 2015. He added, "What are we trying to do here? We didn't have the foggiest notion of what we were undertaking." So basically, they send all these people in, no mission, no reason, no target, nothing. So these people go in there, and they don't know who they're fighting. Because, so we had backed Al-Qaeda, actually, for a long time, gave them money, gave them weapons. And now we're going in, and is Al-Qaeda the enemy? Is Al-Qaeda the friend? We don't know. Are we shooting at them? Are we not?
Like, yeah. But, you know, we should have known. There was one really important thing that the U.S. could have done was taking a look at Russia. Russia fought Afghanistan for a while, and they couldn't make headway because these people fight in the mountains, and it's totally different than fighting on a battlefield. And Russia left, and they left all their equipment there, tanks and everything. They just picked up and left because they couldn't make headway. So then we get in, and that's why it's taken so long, because you can't fight these people. I mean, a lot of it's guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, a lot of it definitely is. So at this time that he was talking to them in 2015, he says, if the American people knew the magnitude of this dysfunction, 2,400 lives lost, which is more now. This was back in 2015. Blaming the deaths of U.S. military personnel on bureaucratic breakdowns among Congress, the Pentagon, and the State Department. Let's see. Since 2001, more than 775,000 U.S. troops have deployed to Afghanistan. Of those, 2,300 died there and 20,589 were wounded. So again, we have this war. No idea what we're doing, why we're there. But yet the government is okay with sending our citizens over there as their chess pieces with no plan, because they're okay to just let us die. Mm-hmm. They're okay to send us off and let us die. Let's see. They underscore how three presidents, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump, and their military commanders have been unable to deliver on their promises to prevail in Afghanistan. And it's true, honestly. I mean, we're still there. This is a never-ending war.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who you put in office, it seems, no matter how many times they say, bring the troops home, nobody's doing it.
But at least when Trump said he wanted to bring it home, who argued the most about it? Were the Democrats?
Right.
Congress.
But
they said
I'm
no.
I'm saying
you
is
can't
that we never
out.
Get anyone there that actually does it. No matter who is in your ear saying, keep them there, keep them there, nobody does it.
Right.
And it's like, no matter who you put in office, you still get Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the same person, honestly. spending, wars, it doesn't matter. We're still spending too much and we're still at war. And spending in different ways, whatever, but you're still spending money. And every single one of these, or Obama and Trump both ran on bringing troops home, right? Have they ended these wars that they said they were going to end? No. Obama started plenty more wars. I think it was, what, seven? Mm-hmm. Five or seven?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you're going to get anybody to actually do that.
No, we're not going to. I don't think so. I mean, I think what they're going to have to do is do something drastic to us, and then we'll just have to kind of like obliterate and then end it that way, because it's gone on so long. I think if we just backed out, they'd say, what did you do for the last 19 years?
Right.
I mean, how much money did, why didn't you do this?
Right. And we're fighting this war on terror, which is an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Terror is always going to be there. Terrorists are always going to be there. As long as you have superpowers, we are a superpower. Russia's a superpower. China's a superpower. As long as you have these countries that are superpowers, there are going to be other countries that hate you.
Oh, yeah.
That terrorize you. And you're not going to stop that. That's an idea. It's not something that can be won. It's not something that war is going to stop. I mean, everyone's out here fighting racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to change that by education and raising your children not to be racist or whatever. But some people, I mean, the sad truth of it, some people are racist.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's okay. But that you're going to have that. And nothing's going to stop that. You get these social justice warriors out here trying to stop racism. You're not going to stop that. Some people just don't like other people.
Right. I mean,
for whatever reason.
It's a sad thing. But look what's going on with the Jewish people now. They're being attacked in this country.
Right.
And you know what? Not the funny thing. I don't mean it to sound like that. But they're not by guns. They're by stabbings. I mean, one of them was stabbed in the head at a party, at a Hanukkah party, and then a synagogue was attacked during services. And so you got racists in that sector, and people just hate other people. I mean, and it's sad.
Yeah, and I think it's if people don't want to be around certain people because of whatever, because of your hair color, because of the shape of your nose, because of the color of your skin, whatever. Okay, just, they don't have to want to be around people like that. If people don't want to be around me because I'm white, so be it. Like,
they don't have to be.
They don't have to be. And that's their right to choose to dissociate. It's not okay for them to do acts of violence. I'm not saying that that's okay.
Right.
But I'm saying people should be allowed to personally discriminate against other groups of people. Like, I don't want to hang out with you, I don't want you involved in my life, whatever, that's okay. Just like a company should be able to, right? Like, if they don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple, they should be able to not bake a cake for a gay couple. But fighting this notion of like racism, discrimination, whatever, only fuels those things and creates more violence, because you're not allowing people to just live life the way they want. They may have been peaceful people that just didn't want to associate with these other people that they don't like. And now you're fueling them, telling them that they can't live like that and blah, 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 and totally like scrutinizing every single thing that they do and putting their life, their lifestyle under a microscope. Now they're getting angry. And so media is really only fueling the violence and this racism problem that we have.
And the internet.
It's all fear mongering, mm-hmm. and it's not helping the situation.
No, like you said, it fuels the fire. I mean, I think part of the problem why there's so many shootings and stabbings and so much racial problems today is because when I was growing up, you only had three channels of news and the newspaper. So you got it on the news that night, but you didn't have day after day after day of media sensationalizing every trivial thing and social media. So people, I mean, people that are a little off that maybe feel that way but never would react on it say, oh my gosh, I can do that too. So they copycat to get their 15 minutes of fame. We're seeing when I was growing up, you didn't have that, you know, and you never heard about me. I mean, in 1973, it was a thing on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. It said you could order any gun out of the Sears catalog, and there was no mass shootings before then or, you know, until we got into, like, the news age, you know. You stop to think about it. If you wanted a gun, you could go and see his catalog and order one. And there was no problems. But people just, I don't know, they get worked up by, it's like the weather. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was growing up, we had a snowstorm. But now they tell you a week ahead of time, 14 inches of snow in the greater Glens Falls area. So what happens, people go out and get 3 months' supply of toilet paper and water and food. And when we get a snowstorm, it's cleared up in like 4 hours. They plow the roads, but they get everybody all worked up. They're all afraid. Yeah. And it's the same way with these situations, mm-hmm. conflicts.
Keeping fear at the heart of people is the main agenda of the media now.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that you are fearful so you can be outraged. And we live in an outrage culture right now. And that, I think, is hurting us a lot. With no one waits for facts. Remember the Jussie Smollett
right.
case or whatever?
Right.
The media had it so wrong. I was listening to Part of the Problem the other day, and they were doing like a year in review of the media and just all the stuff they got wrong. It's just crazy just how much they only tell part of the story, and everyone goes with it. And then later on, the real stuff comes out, just like the Afghanistan papers.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the story is up there. We must fight terrorism.
Yep.
And then all this comes out. All right, getting back to the Afghanistan papers, let's see. So these people that they have quotes from in here, they were speaking on the assumption that their remarks would never become public. They were told everything was confidential, and that was what was supposed to happen. None of this was supposed to come out, but the Washington Post has been fighting in court for a few years to get all this to come out. Let's see here. U.S. officials acknowledge that their warfighting strategies were fatally flawed and that Washington wasted enormous sums of money trying to make Afghanistan into a modern nation. So that also was a goal, along with regime change, was to make Afghanistan into a modern nation. Why on earth would we be going over there and spending money to build roads and schools and buildings when our plan is also to destroy roads and schools and
mm-hmm.
buildings?
Mm-hmm.
It seems counterproductive to me, extremely counterproductive. And a nation coming into a modern age comes at its own time. And it takes hundreds of years to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think somewhere in this it says that. I don't know why they thought this was going to be a quick thing to make them, you know, like first world, I guess, is
well,
their idea.
There was there's a quote here from James Dobbins, who's a former senior U.S. diplomat. He served as an envoy to Afghanistan for Bush and Obama. And he told the interviewers that he said, we don't invade authoritarian countries to make them democratic. We invade violent countries to make them peaceful, and we clearly failed in Afghanistan. So they didn't, if their intention was to bring peace to the area, they're not doing it.
Right.
And number two, they can never do it. Like you said, they've been fighting for thousands of years, and there's mm-hmm. factions in those countries, Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. People, it's like a civil war. People don't like another group of people, and they have wars, and they just don't fight, and we can't get involved because we're not going to make peace over there. They've been fighting for 2,000 years. They don't like each other.
And they don't like us either.
No.
Who are we to come in and be like, you need to stop?
Right, because then we have to fight both sides. Because if we take one side, then we're ticking one side off. And
that's why, you see, we'll be supporting one group over in the Middle East who then is fighting against another group we're supporting. And so then we're fighting against a group that we're supporting.
Right.
As we're also fighting against the group that they're fighting against. And so it's just, it makes no sense. If you look at all the people that we're fighting and supporting, we're supporting everyone that we're fighting.
Yeah.
And it just, it's mind-blowing.
Well, they say, what's the saying? The friend of our enemy. No, the enemy of our enemy is our friend. And the friend of our enemy is our friend. So you can have somebody that you're an enemy with, but if they're against somebody that you dislike more, then they're your friend. Like you said with Al-Qaeda. I mean, they were our enemy. But they were our friend because we didn't like the people they were fighting against more.
Right.
You know, so we used them.
And then from them became ISIS. So we created ISIS, and then we go over there and fight ISIS, but then also support ISIS when they're taking down other people we don't like.
Right. And they're shooting us with our own weapons that we gave them to fight the other group.
Right. So it just doesn't make any sense. And honestly, to go into another country and say, we're coming in here to create peace, but you're doing it with violence, how does that make any sense? Okay, we want peace, but we're going to be violent to get the peace. That's not changing anything. And honestly, it's up to the people that live there to overcome and overthrow these people, right? It's not up to us to go over there and overthrow their government. Every time we do that, someone worse steps in.
Yeah, and then we're fighting that.
Right. So it doesn't make any sense. And not to mention that the people going over to Afghanistan now, this has been an 18-year-long war. You have to be 18 to join the military. These people, freshly into the military, weren't born when all this started. What do they think they're fighting? Like, It's crazy to me that this is still going on. Let's see. So since 2001, the Defense Department, State Department, and U.S. Agency for International Development have spent between $934 billion and $978 billion over there. Let's see. Those figures do not include money spent by other agencies such as the CIA and Department of Veterans Affairs. So if we want to start talking about cutting the budget, maybe the war in Afghanistan is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The documents also contradict a long chorus of public statements from U.S. presidents, military commanders, and diplomats who assured Americans year after year they were making progress in Afghanistan and the war was worth fighting. So again, the media this whole time has been, we're making progress, we're making progress. We're not making progress.
No, I know. It's a game like Vietnam was.
Yes, and it says that several of those interviewed described explicit and sustained efforts by the U.S. government to deliberately mislead the public. It was common at military headquarters in Kabul and at the White House to distort statistics to make it appear that the United States is winning, which is why you should never believe when you see statistics on mainstream media. Don't ever believe them because they are all distorted. It is what the government wants you to hear or what the bias of that station's government So news like outlet, left leaning right. or right leaning, they're going to have distorted statistics.
Well, sure. I mean, the polls in 2016 proved that out.
Right.
They, I mean, you can't believe polls. I mean, they interview 200 people, and how can that be representative of 300 million people?
Right. And they're going to go to, if they're left leaning, go to a left leaning city.
Yeah.
And get polls from those people, exactly. And then if they're right leaning, they'll go to a red city.
So you can't.
Right. So every data point was altered to present the best picture possible. Let's see. Let me find another one here. We found the stabilization strategy and the programs used to achieve it were not properly tailored to the Afghan context. And success in stabilizing Afghan districts rarely lasted longer than the physical presence of coalition troops and civilians. So just like we said, you go over to stabilize, and as soon as you leave, it's not stabilized because those things take years, not sure. months. Let's see here.
Well, that's like in Iraq. We kept a small force there to train the Iraqi soldiers mm-hmm. and government and, you know, how to... And we're still not out of there, and now... The country's ruled by a faction that supports Iran. So we created a monster that we thought would be working with us, or they would want us to work with them. And so we start pulling out, and what happens? You get the crazy people take over. And, you know, like I say, you should just leave them that area alone because they've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years, and they'll never be... anything else because it's religious driven and they want to see everybody dead except for those who believe the way they do. Mm-hmm. There's no tolerance. There's no nothing. And they have factions within their own groups and nobody's ever going to get anywhere with them. Nobody.
Right. It's like when the French colonized Africa and drew up their own territory lines yeah. and then couldn't figure out why there was so much conflict with the people in these territories, but it's because the people of Africa already had their own territory lines drawn by tribe, and now you're cutting through half of the tribe and that was conflicting with this other tribe, and you have them living together in one territory,
and
you wonder
like each
why
other.
You wonder why they weren't getting along,
right?
Because you came into a country and started tearing apart all their fundamental stuff they had put together, and civil wars break loose in these countries. So I was saying that they did go to court to get all this information.
Right, they filed the FOIL.
They went to federal court twice to get these documents. That's how much it took. Let's see. I had some pretty good quotes. Someone says, we're never going to get the U.S. military out of Afghanistan. They start talking about how they resemble the top secret history of the Vietnam War. I just don't understand why there wasn't so much, like... I do understand why there wasn't so much... outrage, since we live in an outrage culture mm-hmm. about the war in Afghanistan, but we have it drilled into our heads that the attack on the Twin Towers is the reason for everything we're doing over there, right?
Right.
So you try to talk to people and say, what are we doing over there? They attacked us. Well, we're not making any headway. What are we doing over there? We need to show them a lesson. Well, you don't think that all the innocent lives we killed have showed them a lesson? We've made them more mad. Mm-hmm. Like another 9/11 is going to happen. It's bound to happen.
And we'll get into that, if not today, in another show. But I think that the fellow that was killed a couple of days ago was planning something big. So
that's what they say.
Yeah.
And until I see evidence.
Right.
I'm not going to believe it, well, just because weapons of mass destruction was also a headline.
Right.
So
But they, I mean, that's, this guy was, I mean, they could put pieces together, though. I mean, he was in different sections of Iraq, and the one, the last section he was in, he got those, the militants together to attack our embassy, and, I mean, he was planning, so they said it, the what he was planning was going to hurt people in Iraq and Yemen. You know, I mean, he was getting all these pods so, stirred up.
But we're also supporting a genocide in Yemen. So,
but what I'm saying is he really has no business being there either because he's an Iranian. So what's he's just a global terror person. And they have, I mean, he had cells all over the place. I mean, he was in, oh, the Palestinian. He's the one that started Hutzpila. And I mean, the guy was really not good, but
well, none of these
and it doesn't
are.
Give us it doesn't give us the right to be over there. However, I mean, I think the straw that broke the camel's back with this guy was when he killed an American soldier when they did that bombing and that, and you know, I mean, it was better than what Obama did and flew a $1.5 billion over in the middle of the night to give Iran to kind of be good. And like, they took the money and didn't change.
I don't know.
You can't change these people.
I'm not buying the headlines that, because they say believed to had big plans of attacking. I'm not going to buy it because everything that's come out of the Middle East mm-hmm. has been proven to be wrong. Assad gassing his people came out, proved to be all fabricated.
Yeah, but by who? Because I'm going to disagree with you on there. I don't know who said that it didn't happen because you had thousands of people.
Oh, it was all staged by the
UN. Well, but they had thousands of people dead by gas.
Yeah,
so
the UN.
You know,
it was all staged by them. Yeah. Assad didn't do that.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying he's not a terrible person.
Right.
But that did come out, and it came out during this whole impeachment thing. Like I say, smoke and mirrors, watch what this hand's doing while this hand's doing something over mm-hmm. here. All these stories are coming out while we're all distracted by impeachment.
Okay.
And so they've got that coming out. They renewed the Patriot Act. They got the Afghanistan papers coming out. Also with the Iran thing, two months ago, back in November, Iran just found an enormously huge oil field.
Right.
And so just the timing of all of this happening is, I'm not saying it is correlated, but I'm also not saying it's not correlated because I wouldn't put it past Washington to do something like that, to have some kind of gain.
Oh, no,
but
you're right.
Just until, I'm not going with headlines, just until, you know, we get information. Will we ever get information?
Right.
Probably not for 18 years, right?
Yeah, right.
But
the next one, then they'll come out with this
right.
one.
And is it going to start a huge war? I don't know. I hope not, because that's not what we need.
No.
But it's not looking good, and I'm not going to believe the motives behind it just because it's a headline. I don't know.
Right.
After being lied into so many of these wars, how can you, really? I don't know. I can't, especially at not just lying into the wars, the whole Russia conspiracy, but bombshell evidence.
Right.
We're damning evidence, and we've got new evidence, but there's no evidence ever.
Well, see, my feeling about wars is if you can't go into a war and not win it, then you have no business being there. It's like World War II, we went in to win. We didn't fight and then run home like Vietnam. We didn't win anything in Vietnam. We fought for so many years, and we just backed up, packed up, and left. And the same thing with Korea. What did we gain in Korea? We had a war. We didn't win the war. And it's like Afghanistan. If you're not going to go in and win a war within a year or two, you have no business of being there. You and 19 years now, and there's no reason to be there.
No. Nope. Let's see. So they started the Afghanistan war with the clear goal, state of objective, to retaliate against Al-Qaeda and prevent a repeat of September 11 attacks. Yet the war dragged on and the goals and missions kept changing. Some officials wanted to use the war to turn Afghanistan into a democracy. Others wanted to transform the culture and elevate women's rights, and others wanted to reshape the region, balance of powers among Pakistan, India, Iran, and Russia. By the time you were finished, you had so many priorities and aspirations, it was like there was no strategy at all. Was Al-Qaeda the enemy or the Taliban? Was Pakistan a friend or adversary? What about Islamic State and the bewildering array of foreign jihadists, let alone the warlords on the CIA's payroll? So this is interesting. U.S. troops often couldn't tell friend from foe. I have no visibility into who the bad guys are. So this warlords on the CIA's payroll, this was very shocking to me. Let me try to find it in here. While I'm trying to find it, here is an interesting thing. It says U.S. officials tried to create from scratch a democratic government in Kabul, modeled after their own in Washington. It was a foreign concept to the Afghans, who were accustomed to tribalism, monarchism, and communism in Islamic law. So again, you can't implement a new strategy of government to some place that's never been used to it. But let me try to find this stuff about the CIA warlords. It's such a long, long report. I'm trying to find it. I think I'm starting to come to it. It's about they were trying to start up an army. On the central plank of their strategy to train a robust Afghan army and national police force that can defend the country without foreign help. Like you said, in Iraq, we went to go train people and they end up turning on us.
Right.
The U.S. military trainers described the Afghan security forces as incompetent, unmotivated, and rife with deserters. They also accused Afghan commanders for pocketing salaries paid by U.S. taxpayers for tens of thousands of ghost soldiers. More than 60,000 members of Afghan security forces have been killed. Just a fun little tidbit. So, these ghost soldiers, so they have all these people enlisted in this Afghan army, right, that we're trying to create, but most of them desert the army.
Oh, sure.
And aren't there. So, these leaders of the Afghan army are then, they still have them listed, and so we're paying them money to be there. So, if they're not there because they deserted, these leaders of this army are then pocketing the money from all these ghost soldiers. Which is disgusting. It's not going towards anything that it's meant to go towards. Not that we should be paying people to be in the Afghan army anyway.
No, and then when we stop paying and those people can't pocket the money, then they get mad at us and want to go to war with us.
Right.
Because we...
U.S. military officer estimated that one-third of the police recruits were drug addicts or Taliban. Yet another called them stealing fools who looted so much fuel from the U.S. bases they perpetually smelled of gasoline. Thinking we could build the military that fast and that well was insane. Afghanistan became the world's leading source of a growing scourge, opium. So not only did they steal money from us and fuel from us, but they became a huge supplier of the opium in the world with the money that we gave to them. They used that to
start their opium fields.
Yep. Last year, Afghanistan was responsible for 82% of global opium production. Almost everything we did to constrain opium farming backfired. Pretty much the flourishing drug trade is the only part of the market that's working in Afghanistan. Let's see. There's so much stuff here. There's a lot of stuff here about what Bush was saying. They ask him, can you avoid being drawn into Vietnam like Quagmire in Afghanistan? He says, the battlefront will last as long as it takes to bring al-Qaeda to justice. This may happen tomorrow, it may happen a month from now, a year or two, but we will prevail. just like Vietnam, government was manipulating public opinion. Those in charge of the war have followed the same talking point for 18 years. So you kind of get the gist of it. There's, let me just flip through to see if there was anything else that I really, really, really wanted to say to you guys about this. It's pretty much just all, oh, they lied about this, and oh, they lied about that. I do highly encourage everyone to read the 6-part series. And then also the Washington Post put up archives of, like, the original documents that you can click on and view. So they have their whole 6-part report. And then the, like, part 7 or something like that is all the archives you can click on and look at, which is pretty neat. I do know the Washington Post, I think, has a left-leaning bias.
Very left-leaning.
So it is interesting to me that, oh, I don't know if it is interesting to me or not, because, I mean, both sides are pro-war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Left and right are pro-war. So I felt like they weren't highlighting any one side in this report, which was interesting to see.
Right, they named all Democrat and Republican.
Yep. And I was confused because I don't ever really read from the Washington Post. So after I read that, I'm like, I wonder what their bias is, because I really didn't get any bias through this,
mm-hmm.
Which is good. It's the type of reporting that we really do need, like this whole huge... This is a bombshell. The whole Russia nothingness was not a bombshell.
No, this is
a bombshell, and quite literally a bombshell.
Well, it's good because it's not directed at one person.
Right.
Where everything else that they're doing is directed at Trump. I mean, good or bad, it's never good, you know?
Right.
So it's so when they name both Democrat, Republicans, and they bring facts out, then you can believe it. But when they just attack one person, then it's kind of like, come on.
Right. And the whole, like, trying to lead up to, oh, we have new evidence, new this, new that, and, oh, this is going to be really bad. Okay, yeah. What is this, and what is the evidence? Are you going to tell me what it is?
Or and they don't have it.
And then it's, oh, we don't have anything.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's
or
nothing
an
here.
Unidentified source told right. us this. Well,
I'm
wait a minute.
I'm so tired of the whistleblower,
yeah.
like with no name, and it's all for protection. It's like, no, it's not.
What are you going to be protected
any,
for?
You're supposed to be a journalist, right? An investigative journalist.
Right.
These people are supposed to be uncovering these things. They're supposed to be putting names out there, right? Something interesting about this whole Iran thing. Like you said, if they never like anything that Trump does, and no, I don't like what he just did. But I will say that CNN doesn't like it either. But if it had been Obama, they would have liked it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I was reading an article from CNN about the Iran thing that just happened. And they're like, well, if Trump had just sat down and talked to him and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but what are they trying to do to Tulsi Gabbard? She sat down and talked to Assad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to try to smooth things over. And they give her so much, they harp on her for that.
Oh, yeah.
They are like, well, you're a foreign whatever.
Well, they accuse her of being a Russian agent.
Right, a foreign agent. Right. You sit down and talk with terrorists, and it's like, oh, but if only Trump sat down and talked with the terrorists.
Yeah, I know. Well, that, yeah, it's one thing. I mean, you know what? You get sick and tired of it because depending on who it is, it's like when they were impeaching Clinton, Schumer got up and said, we don't need any witnesses. We just have to have a Senate trial and we'll get it over with. Now, because it's Trump, he wants witnesses and he wants, you know, I mean, it depends who it is. And but if you're not, like, I don't consider, what's her name,
Tulsi Gabbard.
I don't consider her a true left-wing liberal socialist. I mean, she does have some of the policies, but some of her policies are out there.
Are just left.
Right.
Very left.
But, I mean, she seems to be more centrist on
more centered than like Elizabeth Warren. Oh yeah, definitely.
Matter of fact, I kind of like her. If it wasn't for those couple far out things, I think I wouldn't mind backing her.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she still has some of those big issue policies that I'm not for. But for them to label her as a Russian agent and for Clinton to say that about her, that she's not hooked into the far left socialist group, because you wouldn't say that about somebody in your own party if you,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, she's not for the wars, and that's what they don't like about her.
Well, she was even okay with what Trump did with this.
She wasn't.
She wasn't. I thought she said
put out a video, I think either today or yesterday, about it. She was not for it.
Oh, okay. Because I thought when I read what she had first said, that, you know, she served in the military and she served over there and she knew what this guy was capable of. And she said that it had to have happened because after he was killing our people over there and had our embassy stormed, that the time from Bush to Obama of giving him money and trying to play nice to make them stop doing things clearly wasn't working. So you had to take him out. Now maybe she's since refined her.
Yeah, she said, I think I shared a video today about what she had to say on it. And she was just talking about how another illegal act of, it's an act of war, really, taking out a leader of another country. And just like Obama, these illegal acts of wars not authorized by Congress need to stop. And I agree with that.
Yeah, but I don't think this was an act of war. I mean, he even said this wasn't an act of war. It was an act to prevent war.
We don't know the real motive.
But I think it's true, though. I mean, I'll tell you what. If it came from somebody else, I think I would be questionable. But Trump doesn't hold punches. He doesn't care what he says. And I believe him when he said that, because he's been more concerned, like pulling troops out of Syria. And then the Democrats all said, no, you can't withdraw from Syria. And it's just mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling how two-faced they can be. But I think when Trump says something, I mean, he means it. It's like he told Iran, if you harm any American, you're going to pay a price. Well, they didn't believe him, because the past two presidents, never after Reagan, any other president would always try and be goody-two-shoes to him. Trump said, hurt an American, kill an American, there's going to be a penalty. They killed an American, they stormed an American embassy. Now, if he didn't do something, what would they have said about him? Paul, we can do anything we want. He's not going to do anything. He said he was going to do it, and he said no.
Us killing all the innocent civilians in the Middle East, but why doesn't that give anyone in the Middle East reason to harm us?
Well, I mean, you're right, but that's a different story. They're using the fact that this man was killed because he killed American life over there and led an attack on our embassy. That's the reason why he was killed.
I don't think it's a reason to start a war, though.
It's not, but I don't think it should be a reason to start a war. I think Iraq will consider it a reason to start a war. I don't think he followed through on a pledge he made that if they did X, then you are going to get Y. Now, it was up to them not to do X, and they did it. So for him to say that and not follow through on anything, I mean, my gosh.
And now that we took out a leader, though, who's going to take over?
Well, they've already got his assistant that's taken over his spot. They're always going to have somebody. I mean, you cut off the head.
Is he going to be worse, though? Because that always happens. Could when we take same, out a leader, we worse. End up attracting more power-hungry, bloodthirsty terrorists.
They also know now that if you are going to be a terrorist and you're going to do things, that you're going to be
right, but the thing is that it's just a cycle that we're not, like we said, we're not getting rid of terrorists. We're only creating more,
right.
Honestly. And so we keep taking out these terrorists and...
But on the other hand, you're creating more powerful.
You don't get rid of terrorists.
No, you don't. But on the other hand, if you don't do anything, they're going to keep killing Americans.
Let's get our Americans out of there.
I'll tell you what, even if we're out of there, they still hate America because we're a Judeo-Christian nation.
Right, and they can hate us. But I'm saying if they're going to keep killing Americans, let's get our Americans out of there.
Look, back in the 80s when we weren't involved over there, they tried to blow up the World Trade Center.
And so that's what I'm saying. Our defense at home should be what's important. Not our defense over there, and it's not our place to take out people. It's our place to defend our homeland.
No, I totally agree, but I mean, you know, the only reason why they didn't blow up the World Trade Center, I mean, they knocked a couple of stories off, was because the idiots didn't park in the right spot. And they, you know, if they parked in the right spot, that blew the footings, that would have came down. Now, certainly, they just hate us.
There's no stopping. We've only made it worse.
But you got to penalize people. I mean, if I shot your father and didn't go to jail, then I came back and I shot your uncle and I didn't go to jail, what am I going to think if I dislike other members of your family? Can I do it and not get penalized because I've done it two or three times already? Or if I know I'm going to get penalized, I'm not going to do it.
Right, but that's not the same level as a whole war in different countries.
Hatfield and McCoy's.
It's
didn't
like saying
each other.
If your friend jumps off a bridge, are you going to jump? That's like.
No.
No.
No, but if my friend pushed
so
me
like
off
they're
a
not
bridge.
At the same. They're not at the same level.
No,
so
but if my
really
friend pushed me off a bridge, I'm wondering if my brother said to him, you push anybody else off the bridge, I'm pushing you off the bridge, and he pushed my other brother off the bridge.
Right, but just because they push someone off the bridge, it's like a murderer. Just because they murdered somebody, does that mean the state then gets to kill them with the death penalty? Does that mean we give taking the life
no,
of another
I don't,
person to
I
the
think,
state?
No, I think, see, I'm not
like
for the
not,
death penalty. I think
it's not black and white, and they're not at the same level.
Yeah,
you're messing with nuclear weapons and foreign leaders, it's
yeah,
not
but in
at
a
the
way
same
they
level
are, because
as pushing
I'm,
someone
I don't
off
believe
a bridge.
In the death penalty. But I think a worse penalty than death is to keep somebody in prison for their whole life. And I would say put him in jail for life with no chance of parole.
So right? Why did we take him out then and not just capture him and keep him for life?
How can you can't capture these people because it would cost human lives. It would cost American lives to do it. I mean, if you sent 50
and
people.
And we're sending 3,000 troops into Iran. That's going to cost American lives too.
Yeah, but that's just to protect our.
But that's the people that are going to go over there. Some are going to get killed. That's going to cost American lives
too. I don't know. I mean, we're supposing now that they're going to get killed. I mean, I think they're over there to get our people out. And
But it's just, it's all war in the Middle East. Some people are going to die. Like going into Afghanistan because of 9/11. American lives died because of it. We're sending people into an unstable region. We're going to lose lives. So no matter what you do, you're losing American lives.
Well,
because we've created chaos over there.
But we're hoping
this is all because of us, really.
We're hoping that, see, I've got another spin on it than you do. We're 10 miles inland in that compound. That compound covers 10 acres. There's 10 acres worth of people. So we're sending 3,000 Marines in to get those people out safe. And rather than just have them walk out, because you know what would happen if they just walked out? They'd be killed. So we've got the military over there. We've got drones ready to, anybody that's going to try and hurt Americans are going to be blasted out. And, I mean, we've got the capability to do that without getting anybody injured. We're not going door. That's one thing they said they didn't want to do anymore in war, go door to door. They're going to go.
Right, but just because these people are saying things doesn't automatically mean that they should be believed.
No, but on the other hand, we have to see what happens.
Right,
we got to get our people out as best we can. If someone gets killed for that, I mean, these people sign up and join the Army to do things like that. And if nobody gets hurt and we get our people out safe,
and if
then
we had
it's a
never
win-win.
Been in the Middle East, this never would have been happening.
I know, but that's, hey, you know what? If we didn't move to America and the British, we never would have had our country. I just think things happen, and I know sometimes they may not be the best things. I mean, we probably shouldn't interfere as much as we do, but you know, things happen, and but you're never going to stop those people from hating America because of what we stand
for. That's what I'm saying. We're never going to stop these people. So what's the point, honestly? We're just making more people hate us by trying to stop them. And it's just what happened to Rome. If you look at the Roman Empire, the fall of Rome, they did the same thing. They're conquering lands and they're going into places that were never stable, and they ended up crumbling. The whole empire ended up crumbling. They were too big to control. They were just a foreign power, a superpower that everyone resented, because they're going in and they're saying, you need to do things the way we do things. And big superpowers like that crumble. They don't last forever. And they lasted a long time. They did. But interfering with the Middle East has never been anything anyone can win.
No.
It's not. It's
no,
not anything.
I agree. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. You certainly can't have one country overtake five or six countries in that region with I don't know what the word is. I'm stumbling over words here. With what they have in the way of oil, in the way of other properties that we trade with and we buy, and if you let one country take all that over, I mean, that's not right. They can't do that. I mean, they could.
But isn't that what we do? Go into these countries and try to take them over?
No, I don't think Iraq we want to take over.
We
and
go
I
into these countries
we...
and try to take over by instilling the power that we want ruling over that land so we can benefit from
that. But look
that
at Saudi Arabia. We don't go in there and say, hey, look, you're going to have to appoint who we want you to appoint.
But we want these countries to run a certain way. We want certain leaders running them. And isn't that exactly what we're doing, is going and taking over these countries?
No, I don't think so. I mean, when Iraq invaded one of those countries there, I can't think of who it was. That's how we went over there. We went to protect Kuwait. I mean, Kuwait shouldn't have been invaded by Iraq. But they were a strategic small country that Iraq wanted to take over all their oil fields and all their businesses, and we went over and we beat them beat Iraq back into Iraq. They should have never been in Kuwait. So that would have been a really huge loss to the world. What's that?
Why are we the parents of the world?
It's not that we're the parents of the world, but we're a stabilizing country.
But that shouldn't be our problem.
That's a policy we developed under Madison. And I think that when you have a strategic area that wants our help in staying the way they are and not having their country taken over by another country for their oil is their money maker, and they have a certain way of life. They want to keep it. And some countries coming in and saying, we're killing your people. We're taking over all your oil fields. We are now running your country. And if they ask us for help, and we can go over there, and we certainly weren't in Iraq long. I mean, my gosh, they thought they had the Imperial Army, and we beat them back in 2 days. That's fine. And then we were done. And then Iraq decided.
I don't think we should be the police of the world.
Well, if nobody's going to do anything, I mean, we have NATO, and NATO wasn't paying their fair share. They weren't doing what NATO was for. Well, it is, and then Trump came in and said, look at, you're not paying what you agreed to pay when NATO was started, and we're putting too much of our money into it. Well, I just read an article the other day. He has already gotten countries to come up with over $100 billion of what they had promised to pay back when it started. No other president did that before. They never said anything to these other countries. So if you don't do something, you're not ever going to make things better. And I know this has nothing to do with war, but I don't know. And the same way with the UN, countries aren't paying what they should be there, and we're making up for it, and why should we do that? And he's the only one in the past 50 or 60 years that ever talked to leaders of countries and said, look, you're not paying your fair share. Buddy up, or you're not going to be in the group. And they paid their fair share pretty quick. So sometimes you say things to people, and there's consequences if you don't. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And when you go into another country to help people out, that people are going to dislike you. And it's usually the people that are trying to take advantage of good people. And sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's people we help to turn bad. And now we're fighting them. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. But
I don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. One thing I'd like you to do next time to talk about is the New York's new parole law that went into effect.
With the criminals?
Yeah. No bail.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll
can that be a
that.
Subject
yeah,
that we can look
that.
Into and talk about? Because yeah. It's already, I mean, we're only in the fourth day in January. And in the first 2 days, it's already been very controversial. So if that could be a subject that, you know, you'd like to talk about, because I think it's really crazy.
Yeah, we should talk about that next time. Definitely.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys are doing good on your New Year's resolutions. We will see you next time.